This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
Man, this morning, I gotta tell you this, just before we got on this pod, I was all ready to go and cleaning up the basement because my dad comes in town tonight and trying to get everything looking nice. And in the dark, deep corner, and all parents, you know what I'm talking about right now. Every parent that has young kids has the dark corner that you like truly hate to go to because you know something truly shitty is going to be in that corner. Anyways, today it was a glass of milk in a white cup, right? So I looked down in the white cup and I'm like, oh, you know, it's nothing in there. Cool. So I picked it up, right? And I did the upswing towards me to bring it towards me. And the moldy, disgusting milk went from the cup to my forehead and just started dripping down and took everything in my system not to throw up. I'm sure parents all around know exactly what I'm talking about right now. Like, you want to cuss at the world, but you realize that you're the one raising those kids and their mess is just as much as your mess as anybody else's. So yeah, kind of deserve that for not looking in that dark corner for so long.
I don't know if you deserve that, but dude, that's fucking crazy, dude. I know exactly what you're talking about, though.
Oh, it's so nasty, always, man. That smell, you know?
Yeah. You don't, there's always that moldy milk that you don't want to get on you.
The somewhere, clumpy ones.
Yeah. Yeah, the man. Kids hide that stuff, but yeah, whatever. But
I mean, have you ever had one of your kids drink the clumpy milk from their cups?
No.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's always a treat. Jude did that one time when he was 3 years old.
Yeah.
My youngest picked up a cup, had moldy milk in it, took a big old swig of it, and proceeded to throw up in the back of the van for a little while. It's actually the van that you own now, so.
Oh, that's what that stain is.
No. Just blah. I mean, it was like, it wasn't once. It was consistent. And he wasn't sick. He just had to get all that moldy milk out of his system, I guess.
Yeah, dude, they can hide in those nooks and crannies and then boom.
I thought those stages were over. But no, yeah, I guess not.
That's the worst, is when they're not puking up like just like formula or milk or anymore. You know, it's like actual food.
Yeah. It's that, well, I mean, you're about to go through that. I mean, yours is, 6 months old? Right at that age?
7 months.
7 months old, yeah. So he's probably starting to eat little solids foods once in a while. So you're probably about to get into that, yeah, like, really nasty, shitty smells that comes out of him after he eats solid food.
Yeah, dude, I'm looking forward to that.
Let me tell you this, though. Potty training, all right? Bella, it took me a long time to potty train Bella, all right? They say girls are a little slower potty training. Timmy took me a little while, too, but Jude, I figured it out. I took a stick and put it in the backyard, right? And the stick has to be able to change colors, right? So if you pee on it, right, it changes color. See what I'm saying? Anyways, it's like a soft wood, like a light wood that you can get that will change colors. Anyways, so when we were living in Denver, I put the stick out in the backyard and I showed the boys, if you pee on it, it changes colors. And like, they were potty trained within like a week. Like every single time they had to go pee, they were out there peeing on the stick. I mean, it backfired because they started peeing in public. But I mean, like, to me, it was pretty cool. So when it comes down to it, man, like, just know, like, put a stick in the backyard and just tell your kid to pee on it and he'll get the biggest kick out of it. Jude was potty trained by 18 months, man. So,
the fast track, bro. The fast track.
It's the cheat codes, man.
You got to give him a little reward, but, to change of color.
Jude, though, has no fear. Like, when we were living in Hawaii that 3 years that we did, you know, mom and dad were there one time visiting, and we were visiting up at Turtle Bay, which if you have time to look at Turtle Bay in Hawaii, it's on Oahu. It's a pretty fancy resort, just a beautiful, beautiful place. And they have this, pretty fancy water area where you can get water for your water bottles and drink water and all that other stuff. And my son had to go to potty, right? This is Jude again. And you know, my dad's there standing there and I'm standing there getting some water. And I look down and Jude's just peeing like right onto the water fountain and just letting it go. And like, you know, all of a sudden everybody realizes it. And, you know, like as a parent, you're like, oh, shit, no. But like, I don't know. I took a step back and was like, just kind of stood in front of him. Was like, sorry, guys. Can't really tell my kid he can't pee here because he just did. So like, what do you do, right?
And now you even tell him to hold it and pee all over himself on top of that?
Nah, I'm just let it flow, bro. Just let it flow.
He'll be done when he's done.
It's just a little embarrassing. It was in front of mom and dad, but that's all right. Dude, how about JRE coming back for 15 minutes tonight?
Dude, exactly, man. To me, when I look at this win, I thought it was a great performance by everybody. But the only player on the team who didn't score in double figures was JRE. And by far, I was the most excited to see him out there. It takes time. It takes time to get confidence in your body and to be able to move freely and to regain confidence in your shot. But we saw him move really, really well. And at this stage, that's the best thing you can hope for. He looked like he's been playing 5-on-5 for a while. Even though we only played 8 players, I don't think he was rushed back. And that's important. He picked up 8 rebounds, 2 of them offensive, and 6 points. And I just felt like he was just out there playing basketball, like, freely. And that's a really good sign.
Yeah, and seeing JRE back there with Poku and Isaiah Roby, man, the lineup they had for a little while, Olivia Saar, Poku, Roby, JRE, and it was, Maladone running point or Vic Krejci running point?
Or Poku running point.
Yeah, Poku running point. Like this was a really interesting way of flowing everybody through. And it goes back to what we talked about a little bit last podcast, or what I did was, you know, for as far as center and power forward, every single time that we look at drafting a center or power forward, we have to see how their fit works with this team. And there's very few guys in this upcoming draft that truly fit with a center power forward position. You know, the other night I watched a young man play and I got really excited about it. And we'll go into detail later about that young man. But the reality is that there's very few guys that really can truly help this team right away in the draft. But that's where I get excited about as far as guards coming through. We have Maladon. Look how Maladon has matured through the last couple of games, man. This is truly spectacular. 40 minutes tonight, 23 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Like he was everything that we needed tonight, and he was all over the place on defense. He played 40 stinking minutes tonight. I know we only had 8 guys, and that's why he played as many minutes, but he's been on a whole new level, man. But this is like the third game in a row where he scored 20 plus points, and he's just doing amazing stuff.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, this game, you know, it's a win, and that's important to us. But the reason it feels so good is because last year at this stage, we were getting beat by a lot of points. And it was basically, you know, there's been a few guys added, but basically the same group of guys out there. And they're standing up and they're fighting back. And yeah, there are, like I said, some rookies out there, but we didn't get to see Trey Mann. So that's even, you know, basically we're at the final guys that are from that rookie group. And one of those guys really led the team, and that was Aaron Wiggins. He went for 28 points and just a really nice rebounding performance. He got 5 rebounds, but 4 of those were offensive. And I remember 3 of them he scored on right away. He kicked in 6 assists. So he was just doing things right. And he did it on 11 of 19 shooting. And I just felt like he was at the right place at the right time. He knows how to move when everybody else is watching the ball. And that gets him open. And then he knows how to finish over people. And he's consistently a really high-level player. And the thing about him is when he came back from injury just a few games ago, it was a slow start. It wasn't like anybody was worried about him. And I see the same thing going back to JRE, right? It's like it's going to take some time. But when he gets going, I expect to see him play something like what we saw from Wiggins. Like he can go out there and dominate.
And I agree. Wiggins is unbelievable night tonight. But really, to me, the player of the game and the person that really stood out in the fourth quarter and just took over the fourth quarter and some of the overtime was Isaiah Roby, man. This goes back to what I'm talking about in the draft. Isaiah Roby and JRE, right? These guys are the future of our center slash power forward, because I don't think our center position is just going to be one guy playing center. It's just not going to be the way it's going to be. It's going to be a new way of going about. So anytime that people are like, we need a center, we need a power forward, Isaiah Roby and JRE should take that as a personal insult, because these guys are playing fucking outstanding right now. Isaiah Roby, 38 minutes, 30 points, 2 blocks, 2 steals, 4 assists, 8 rebounds, 2 of which were offensive, 4 for 8 from the foul line, 4 for 5 from 3-point range, 11 for 13 in the best game that he has played yet for the Oklahoma City Thunder, best game of his career. Unbelievable job by Isaiah Roby. To me, this guy is proving that he deserves a starting position on this team, and that is pretty powerful.
Yeah, and he went up against Drew Eubanks, and I have never heard of him before, but I was really impressed with the way that Eubanks plays. He attacks the offensive glass. He dunks everything. He went up for 27 and 14. So, I mean, this was a true battle, and I really appreciate Eubanks' game. I think we're going to see him in the league for a while. But the nice thing about Roby, and the reason I like his game better, right, is because he can knock down that 3-point shot at a really consistent rate. And he went 4 for 5 from deep. And it was just like this guy went out there and filled up the stat sheet. And I would say at the same time, he really didn't like dominate the shot chart, right? He went out there and was effective. He did it in 13 shots. So 30 points on 13 shots. That means that he's not saying, like, give me the ball, get out of the way. He's playing within the offensive flow, but he's being really efficient with his opportunities. And that's what's important about Roby's game. And that's why I got so pumped up. I'm just like, this team has come so far from where we saw them last year. They understand what to do in this moment, and they're working really hard to make the most out of it. And it's just, it's an awesome effort. And, you know, Poku, his shot wasn't exactly on this game, but I thought he had a really good game overall. 11 points, 11 assists, and that's just badass. I mean, he was 2 rebounds shy of a triple-double, and when you can impact the game that much when your shot isn't necessarily falling, that's really important. And he stayed confident. He continued to shoot even though, you know, it wasn't going. And one thing I've noticed with him as the game goes on, he got 40 minutes or 41 minutes this game, his shot starts to fall short, right? And I think he recognized that this game, and he didn't continue to try to force it. He tried to find other ways to impact the game, and I was really impressed with his effort.
Yeah, and Poku's stats, man, they reminded me a lot of Giddey's stats typically. You know, 11 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, right? That's something you see Giddey do, right? But Poku's 7 foot tall, bro, and a 7'3" wingspan. So it's even more impressive seeing those numbers from a big man. It's pretty fun to see. And he had the ball in his hands making a lot of the decisions. He had one pass that went way into the fourth row of the stadium in the corner.
Yeah,
a little high.
It was. And that's the thing with Poku, you always get a bit of a mixed bag, but the good is really starting to outshine the bad. And last year it was a mixed bag. You never knew what you'd get. And every good play would be negated by a bad play or a series of bad plays. It felt like this year you're looking at it and it's like those mistakes are the exception. And I love his creativity. He does so many things where it's like he's not just long, right? He's really, really, really shifty and creative. And you have to be when you weigh 170 pounds or whatever he weighs.
Yeah, you know, and I laugh at that pass because it reminded me of high school when we were playing in that Podunk town in Oklahoma, Wilmington, Oklahoma. And we had a coach named Rennie Nickel, and they had, we're playing against a team that had like a really asshole video guy, and they kept on yelling and screaming. So he's like, Dave, go to the corner and I'm going to pass a ball over your head and it's going to hit this guy and he's going to learn a lesson. So yeah, that kind of reminded me. It was like, the guy was sitting like 5 rows deep in the stands and the ball hit him right in the head. It was a pretty good moment. So anyways, it was one of those Poku things, like you said, he does really great, and then he has a head scratching moment. It's like, okay, yes, he is still very young, a very young 20 years old. So, but I'm not too worried about it. And I feel like the progression that he's made is pretty impressive. One of the guys that continues to impress me, though, is Krejci, man. He got a starting job last night. He only took 3-point shots, he didn't take anything else. So, he only took what they gave him. I love this. He has a couple drives that he went really, really strong. And then he was able to pass the ball a couple more for assists. But then there was a couple more that JRE or Isaiah weren't able to handle, which is fine. He's still learning how to play with these guys. But Krejci, man, 4-for-6 on 3-point, 12 points, 2 steals, 2 assists, 3 rebounds. He continues to prove that he is a special player, and I'm really excited about him. His game is really coming along. It's really fun to watch.
Yeah, it was great to see him in the starting lineup. And like you said, you know, shooting all those threes is a really good sign. That's not something we knew he could do when we drafted him. We looked at him as a slasher, a guy who likes to get downhill, get to the bucket, a good passer once he gets there, but also above average finisher because of his size. Now, teams are daring him to shoot, but if he can hit the three-point shot at a high clip, they're not going to keep doing that. And once they start covering him, then we're going to be seeing him play with some space and playing in a spot where he's, you know, cutting to the hoop, getting the ball on the move, finding the other cutter, finding the other three-point shooter. But like, things will start happening for him. But right now, they're daring him to shoot the three, like you said, and he's making the most out of it. And he ended up with 12 points, and so did two guys off the bench, Sar and Waters. And those were the only two guys off the bench other than JRE, and we talked about him earlier. So seeing them, you know, go out there and play effectively was really nice too. Lindy Waters, we needed everything he gave us, and his three-point shot, when he shoots it, it feels like it's going to go in every single time. He shot 4-of-10 from deep, and he kicked in two rebounds and 3 assists. So a solid game for Waters, and I love seeing his progression. Sar, on top of that, he went 5-for-7. He like I mentioned earlier, he had 12 points and 5 rebounds. So good game for him. He kicked in 2 steals, so he was playing really well. Both those guys, you know, leading the way off the bench, and I'm just proud of them. I'm proud of the effort they're putting in. I'm proud of the way that they represent the team and the city and the state, and it's just great to watch them continue to impress and to improve.
Yeah, we had an enormous amount of turnovers last night. 20 turnovers, man. That's crazy for this team. That's one of the most we've had all season. But we're still able to win, even though Portland only had 11 turnovers. And that's partially to the way that we were able to score off their turnovers. We held their fast break points to only 10 points. 10 of those turnover, or 5 of those turnovers turned into layups. So this team just did a really, really great job at limiting the fast break points and the turnover points off of turnover. So great job there. Our bench scored 30 points. Again, something we love to see. And our biggest lead was 7 points, but that's all we needed to get the win. They had a 10-point lead. I think it was in that fourth quarter. In fact, I want to say in the last minute and a half, I think they had a 6-point lead on us too. So just a great job climbing back in that fourth quarter to even stay in this game. It was just an exciting game. You know, I watched the second half 3 times just because I really enjoyed just seeing how this team flowed and pulled things together. And to be honest, like, we had no place to win this game the way that we were playing defense. But we came back, and we came back hard, and we fought. And I kind of made the joke to you after the game that I felt like Portland kind of handed us the game. But you were right, man. You called it out. You said, no, they didn't hand us the game. We took the game from them. And the more I watched the game, the more I studied the game, the more I realized that you were absolutely right. We literally stepped up our defense. We started playing harder. They had a couple times to hit the shot to you know, make it an impossible comeback. Our defense made it really difficult shot. So, again, this was an opportunity for us to take it away from the Portland Trail Blazers. And we play them one more time before the end of the season, so it's going to be fun to see that game too.
Yeah, the reason I felt like we took it, as much as you're saying, which is true, the defensive effort, but we made shots, and we made tough shots, and we won the game on second efforts, offensive rebounds, and things like that. And yeah, we did not belong in it at the end of the fourth quarter. Like, we should have been out of that. They were making shots, and they created some separation, but we stuck together as a team, and then overtime, we really played at a better level than we had played for most of the fourth quarter. The level of ball that we were playing at the end of regulation in the fourth quarter was how we started overtime, and that's what separated us from it. But those guys, none of them looked intimidated by the moment. They all looked like they felt like they belonged out there playing at a high level, and we relied on every single player. When you only play 8 guys, you can't afford to have anybody not step up and that was really important and everybody was instrumental. And then the icing on the cake, the thing that we started with this whole time, is JRE being back. That's awesome.
Yeah, it really was. It just, to me, like, seeing how these guys played, seeing how they understood the game together, we still had an incredibly young team. If you look at it, we had a couple guys that were over 21 years old, but those guys are, you got Isaiah Roby, who's been in the league for a few years now, Poku for 2 years, who's 20 years old, Maladon, 2 years, he's 21, I believe, and then you have Wiggins, Krejci, JRE, Waters, and Sarr, all rookies. So again, just a phenomenal job by a rookie class. That's five rookies that got a ton of minutes tonight. And I'm just proud of them. I feel like this is a huge step for each one of them. Some of them had some issues in the beginning, worked them out. Isaiah Roby was the leader tonight, and it was really impressive to see how he was able to control the game and really benefit this team the most. And I get excited about Isaiah Roby. We've said since day one, we believe that Isaiah could be a special player in this league. We still believe that. His body style, the way he plays, 6'8" as a big man, isn't uncommon to see a special player at that size. So for me, Isaiah Roby is special, and we just got to sit back and enjoy the ride and really what he can do on all levels. So it's been big, it's been exciting, and I'm pretty stoked right now.
So one thing you mentioned at the beginning, I thought, you know, it was something that I also noticed and I was really intrigued about, but like those lineups, bro, like those lineups that Coach Daigneault was obviously experimenting, where he put Roby, I think, at the three, mm-hmm. JRE at the four, Sarr at the five. I mean, tell me more about that, because it blew my mind.
Yeah, we essentially, you had Isaiah Roby at the three. You had Poku, I believe, at the two or in slash one. I mean, just depending on who was bringing the ball down. You had Maladon bringing the ball up at point guard. You had JRE and Sarr in the game. And they made it work. And that's the thing about it, is that sometimes you wonder if this team can make things work with the rotation, with big men being out there like that. But Isaiah Roby and Poku at that two and three, man, that was exciting to see, because, again, we were going up against a team that was, at that time, I believe they were up by 7 or 8 points when we put that lineup out there. And we passed the ball around. Isaiah Roby hit some huge shots, and then all of a sudden we were back in the game. So, again, there's moments that you see Coach D that he breaks down the game in that fourth quarter. He puts a lineup out there that's going to create the biggest issue. And it's fun because they don't have enough time to react to that lineup. And we saw that last night. We were down by 10 points with like 2.5, 3 minutes to go, man. And we crawled back in a crazy way. And it's exciting.
So if we had Sarr at the five and we had JRE the four, then Roby at the three, and then we had Krejci at the two and Poku at the one, I think that's our biggest lineup while keeping you know, players' relative position intact. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we were forced to play some of these guys like that. JRE was on minute restriction, at only 15 minutes last night. So we saw a lot of Roby, Poku, and Sarr out there at one time, right, just because that was the rotation. And of course, you know, whether it was Wiggins, Krejci, or Maladon that was out with them, or Waters even, it was fun. Because really, right, seven players are playing last night, and it was just, dude, it was crazy. Like, I didn't think this was going to be the outcome. Yeah, you look at the Blazers, and if there is a team that's more injured than us in the NBA right now, it's the Blazers. And they have, I think, 10 or 11 guys that are on in the injured list, and we have, what, nine guys? So, you know, like, that's where it's at right now. There's not much more. There's some teams that we're looking at the Blazers, and it's quite obvious. We said it at halfway through the season after they traded some players that they're tanking. That's been the obvious, you know, sign right there, is that this team is in a spot that they can tank for a better draft pick to hopefully be able to trade for a better player this season to put up with Lillard. So, you know, seeing this and recognizing it, this team was still hungry. You know, Blazers did not want to go away. They had a fan base that was out there ready to watch them play, and they thought that they were going to be able to get the win. And it was just exciting to see how this team climbed out there, you know, climb back from being down a number of times, and we fought for it, and we got to the point where we saw a young man that's Isaiah Roby take over and just allow us to win this game. It was really big. It was really exciting, and it was fun to see.
So how do you feel? Like, I know after the last win, it was kind of like, you know, you felt like we could win a few more games. I know that at this stage, some people are getting concerned that we're going to win too many games and maybe push ourselves to that fourth position on the draft board. I mean, what do you think?
Well, right now, we're only a game and a half ahead of the three worst teams in the league. So you got Detroit, Houston, and Orlando. So they're all tied right there, a game and a half behind us. I still think that we can pull off two more wins. I felt like we could pull three more wins off before this win. So I think that we can pull two more wins off. I don't think that's going to be the question. Like you said, is it going to be is it going to knock us out of that opportunity to get the fourth spot? No. And this is why. Even with two more wins, isn't enough to even pass us against the Pacers right now. So the Pacers, are 2.5 games ahead of us. So in order for this all to come to pass, we have to get three more wins, and they would have to get and they would have to get no more wins in order for us to be able to position to go ahead of the Pacers. So I don't think that's going to happen. I think Pacers have one or two more wins in them. And if that's the case, then it doesn't really matter how many more wins, because we can sit here and say, oh, we want to be in the bottom three, but we would have to completely fucking tank on a hardcore level right now to even do that. And then we'd have to be even looking there and hopefully crossing our fingers that one of the three other teams fucks up and wins two more games. And the reality is that why? For what? There's no reason.
Right. So, and last year we had the fourth best odds, and then we end up with the sixth pick, and we obviously got who we wanted there. So, I mean, it's fascinating. It could fall back. It could move up, you know, because it's still a lottery, you know, and it's not going to affect us that much just being in the number four spot. I think that's the perfect spot for this team, and I'd like to see us keep getting wins. And at this point, all we can do is sit back and enjoy, because we're watching the organization top to bottom prove like its value, and we're seeing the connection to the G League, and we're seeing, you know, all these guys out there who played in the G League and got minutes there, and they established themselves within the system, and now they're getting this opportunity that, let's just be honest, man, it's life-changing for these guys. This is a life-changing moment, and we should just continue to applaud their effort because it's impressive.
Yeah, and we're watching in a time where we're seeing 5, 6, you know, more rookies play at one time. That's what's impressive about this rookie class, is that this has been one of the strongest rookie classes of all time. And looking at it, it's amazing that we have 6 players that are rookies right now. I mean, you know, even 7 if we're completely healthy. To me, that's where we're looking at. That's what we're so impressed with, is that in the time that we needed to get as many rookies as possible, we did somehow. And it's been completely amazing. Great job by Lindy Waters tonight. 24 minutes, 12 points, and just lights out when it comes to shooting. So I'm impressed, man. I'm pumped. This is the way to go right now.
Hell yeah. And we appreciate everybody continuing to join us. And we're going to be back on Friday to talk a little bit more about the upcoming game. And we appreciate your time. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.